This is the 16th class, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, October 15th, 2009, Kartik. We're discussing this scene in verse 272. Now, the definition of Raga Bhakti. Ishte surasiki raga paramavishtita bhavet tanmayi yabhavet bhakti satra ragot ragatmi kodita ragatmik kodita. This idea is about tanmayi, how we say the gopis are tanmayi. Tanmayi means they're mixed with that, they're absorbed in that, tatmayi or tanmayi. Another definition of tanmayi means they're impelled by thirst. Tanmayi means trishna. Trishna means thirst, hunger or thirst. Because the ragatmika bhaktas are supremely attached to Krishna, they have intense desire, hunger, and thirst to see, associate, and serve Radha and Krishna. Because their minds are fixed on Krishna, they naturally want to have Krishna. Their Trishna, or thirst, arises from their pure love, their Krishna prema. Tanmayi means one. Although, in terms of rag, Trishna and Paramavishtata are different. Tanmayi means the loving attachment, the thirst and absorption of the Brijvasis is only in one, Krishna. This type of complete absorption in Krishna's happiness is called Ragatmika Bhakti. Basically, what's happening here in these notes, in different ways we're describing the same thing, so it does sound somewhat repetitive. There are different angles to understand the definition. So that's, we're showing these different angles. The nature of the mind is to follow your attachments. Whatever you're attached to, the mind will always go there naturally. Even when we chant japa, we're chanting japa, but the mind is going elsewhere, following our rag, our attachment, because we don't have natural thirst, hunger, or desire to chant Krishna's name. We don't have natural absorption in Krishna's name. So we're chanting, our beads are moving through our fingers, the name is entering our ears, and our mind is trying desperately to stay fixed on the sound of Krishna's name, Radha's name, Hare Krishna, Hare Ram. But because our actual rag, our svabhavika rag, our inherent thirst or taste is for something else or for someone else, our minds run there. Whatever we're attached to, the mind always goes there naturally. The ragatmika devotees have natural attraction for Krishna. Because of that attraction, they work and act to serve and please Krishna. That is called ragatmika bhakti. In the material world, if you're attracted to someone and like a particular person, you'll naturally think of them, and you would like to work and serve them, and you would like to please them. Raganuga sadhana bhakti, it means to desire this type of absorption in Krishna. As Lord Chaitanya prays, Nadanam Najanam Nasundaram Kavitam Ba Jagadish Kamiye. Lord Chaitanya doesn't want his mind to go to any of these things. He doesn't want his mind to be taken away by any of these things. Now our rag is in these things. We have rag for women, money, men, wife, husband, house, followers, name, fame, which are all these things are being denied and rejected by Lord Chaitanya. These material objects attract our minds. We don't need any practice or training. Similar attraction to Krishna happens when we change our rag from the material side to the spiritual side. Tanmayya bhavet bhakti, that's the last line of the verse, 272. That means when our natural attraction to Krishna inspires us to act and serve Krishna for his pleasure. Those activities are called Raghunuga Bhakti. So when does this stage actually arise? When we have natural attraction to Krishna, we become inspired. That begins at the level of Ruchi. Therefore, because of this definition, because of these characteristics and symptoms of Raghunuga Sadhana Bhakti, most acharyas will say that the qualification to practice Raghunuga Sadhana Bhakti is minimally Ruchi, a level of Ruchi. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, he defines Ragatmika Bhakti as that intense desire which is full of love, arising from natural absorption in the Lord, and that service which is inspired from such intense desire. At first there's intense desire, and then that desire to be with the Lord, to serve the Lord, and your attachment to the Lord. Then from that desire arises service and desire to serve. One who's following the path of Raghunuga Bhakti, he wants to attain the level of absorption in Krishna that the Ragatmika devotees have. So he follows their actions by doing similar activities and similar services they do. We read about Rati Mandri. Raghunath Das Goswami says, "Oh, Radharani, I'm stringing a flower garland for you, and I'm thinking of you and how much you'll appreciate this garland." So then devotees also were not Rati Mandri, but we collect some beautiful fragrant flowers and we string them together as a garland, and we're thinking, "I'm going to offer this to Radharani as our service." So in that way we're following in the seva or the footsteps of these great devotees. So we do similar activities and similar services as they do. We don't think that we are them, but we're trying to emulate them and their services and their feelings and their moods. So Raghunuga Bhakti means to perform activities with the goal to achieve the bhava of the Brijbasis. So we're acting in anugatya, we're acting in, you say, in the line of or in subservience to the eternal associates of the Lord. They're chanting, we're chanting, they're meditating on different services, we try to meditate. And at the same time, because we're hearing about their descriptions of their services and the feelings that they're experiencing while they're serving Radharani, then some of this bhava comes into us, and that is a goal. The goal of sadhana bhakti is come to bhava bhakti. So what is it? What are the elements? What are the elements or practices in sadhana bhakti that lead one and take one up to the level of bhava? So these are the elements. The elements are to serve the bhava bhaktas and premi bhaktas and pray to them and read about them and hear about them. And this way, our aspiration for bhava will be fulfilled by their mercy, by their kripa. Oftentimes, someone is practicing vaidhi sadhana bhakti, but they reach a dead end. They are just simply mechanically chanting and going through the rudiments and daily activities of vaidhi, regulated devotional service, but they're not doing these activities with a sense of bhava. Oftentimes Prabhupada says that we should perform our vaidhi sadhana, our devotional service, with the desire to attain love, with the desire to attain bhava, with feelings. Okay, we have a general idea what that means, to put your feelings into some activity or put your heart into something, but it actually means something deeper. It means that our vaidhi sadhana should be connected, because vaidhi becomes raghunuga, and it's still its sadhana. Raghunuga sadhana is still sadhana. But in the initial stage of vaidhi, we become purified by regulative activities. Our mind and senses become steady. Our faith becomes condensed. We become convinced. This is nishta. And we become fixed in Krishna consciousness. And then we become attracted to the eternal associates. Then we start the next level of developing the bhava, developing the feelings that they have and appreciating their feelings and hearing about them. And this is how we actually engage in service. This is called vaidhi sadhana mixed with raghunuga. In the beginning there's vaidhi and raghunuga mixed, and finally it's pure expression of raghunuga sadhana. But it comes when we start pulling down connection, or we start establishing a connection with the eternal associates of Radha and Krishna, Raghunath Das, Rupa Goswami, Sanatana, etc., especially the six Goswamis. That's why the six Goswamis are so much emphasized in Krishna consciousness, all the way to the extent of being not only the exemplars or the teachers of pure devotion and the teachers of Raghunuga Sadhana, but even the six Goswamis are the removers of obstacles from the path of devotion. Vigna Vinashan. They actually remove the obstacles. In the beginning, someone may pray to Nrisingadev to remove the kam, krodh, lobh, etc. But the real obstacles are the mental obstacles. The mental obstacles to Krishna consciousness. The lack of the inability to be absorbed in chanting and hearing and remembering. The inability to become attached to Krishna. The inability to control the mind and keep it fixed on Krishna. And the inability to avoid offenses. Even though the senses may be somewhat adjusted, pacified, and engaged in Krishna consciousness in the realm of Vaidhi, still the mind is a little bit uncontrolled. So therefore, we pray to the six Goswamis, Echai Gosai Kori Charnamandan Yohoite Bignanash Abhishtapuran, that my Abhishtapuran, you please fulfill my desires, because now I'm aware that my true desire is not to get free from lust, anger, and greed, and not to get free from the bodily concept, which I've already become somewhat by becoming Nishtha and Bhakti. My true desire is to attain love, bhav, love for Radha and Krishna, in a particular mellow of devotion. But I have these mental obstacles of lack of attachment, lack of absorption, lack of control and fixation of my mind. So please remove all the obstacles to that, so that I can be fixed. So then we do that by praying to them, hearing about their sevas, and then we enter the realm of Raghunuga Sadhana. So they become so important. It's interesting, because if you see anyone who's following this Raghunuga Sadhana Bhakti, at the level of Vaidhi, the Sringadev might be near the altar, around the wall, and when one enters the platform Raghunuga Sadhana, the Sringadev is replaced by the six Goswamis. If you go into any of the Bhajan Kutirs, and they're following the path of Raghunuga Sadhana, you never see a picture of Nrisingadev. But you always, without fail, will see a picture of the six Goswamis, which of course Prabhupada introduced to the temple, in the temples. And he also introduced pictures of Nrisingadev. I don't know exactly when, but sometime early on in the movement, maybe around the 70s or so, when there was some threats to the movement and threats to Prabhupada's life, he introduced Lord Chaitanya's Nrisinga prayer, and then some disciples of Prabhupada, they added the prayer from Gita Govinda, Mangala Charana, Tavakara Kamala. But the other prayer, Namaste Narasimhaya, that was introduced by Prabhupada in response to crank phone callers threatening to kill Prabhupada and burn down the temple in New York in the 71 or 70 or whatever. In 4 or 5 years, there wasn't any Nrisinga prayer. It wasn't part of the Mangalarti at all. In history, they would sing Samsara prayer. Prabhupada would sing it in Sanskrit, then the devotees would sing it in English in the beginning. The spiritual master's ocean of mercy, he's coming with the rain up, like this they sang. They didn't know Sanskrit. 1966, 67. Many interesting history of ISKCON. Then after 3-4 years, then this prayer was introduced. So therefore, in Raghunuga Sadhana, we're too much interested in the six Goswamis, even for the basic controlling and purification of the mind and removing obstacles and impediments and blockings and laziness, so we can fulfill our Abhishtapuran, our Manobhishtam, Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam, Stapitam Yunabhutale. Rupa Goswami has come to establish the internal desire of Lord Chaitanya that everyone will take up Rag Bhakti, that everyone will attain Braja Prem, and everyone will go to Vrindavan. This is the Manobhishtam. Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamaya Tadati Swapanatikam. This is Rupa Goswami's Pranam prayer. So Rupa Goswami and the other Goswamis, they're so much user-friendly for all the practitioners of Raghunuga Sadhana Bhakti. And of course, this section of Nectar Devotion, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, is all about Raghunuga Sadhana, so therefore we're discussing all these aspects. Just like in Mayapur, Nrisingadev wasn't there. Nrisingadev came after Srila Prabhupada left this world. 1983, I believe. 85. Some dacoits attacked the temple and they wanted to have some protection. You know the history. But for the sadhaka, who is on the path of Raghunuga Bhakti, following Rupa Goswami, and then they worship the six Goswamis. Raghunuga Bhakti means to perform activities with a goal to achieve the bhava of the Brijvasis. So as I mentioned, Prabhupada says, even in the beginning of Vaidhi Sadhana, when we're hearing, chanting, going to the temple, we should do all these with a desire to attain bhav. Most people sometimes, you ask them, why are you doing these activities? Oh, it's our program, our morning program. My guru asked me. But actually, no, I want to attain love of God. I want to attain bhav and prema. And I'm always thinking about that. I'm always desiring that. That should be the basic background motivation and desire for doing all of our activities, firstly and primarily to please Radha and Krishna and Sri Guru, and to attain bhava and prema so I can please them in a better way and please them even more by the purity of my offering and the purity of my heart and consciousness. Because there's karma mishra bhakti, gyan mishra bhakti, there's so much mixture of bhakti. So my bhakti is not pure, it's not shuddh bhakti, it's not prema bhakti. So therefore it's not very palatable, or very attractive or appealing or pleasing to the Lord. Because no one likes something mixed. Would you like a glass of pure milk or half milk, half water? You want the pure milk. It's more nourishing, more satisfying and tasty. The same thing, pure bhakti is more nourishing, satisfying and tasty to Krishna than mixed bhakti. So we aspire to attain bhava, so because Krishna is really served by bhava. What pleases Krishna's heart is his expressions of love, of prema and bhava. And Radharani is the embodiment of the greatest expressions of love. Therefore, she's called Mahabhav Sarupini Radha, Mahabhavati Radha. She has Mahabhav, the greatest bhava, the greatest love. When we come, so this is even the level of Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, we're thinking like this and feeling like this, that I have to rise this level. Then Raghunuga Sadhana, then it becomes specific. In the beginning it's just generic. Yes, I want to do my service with feelings. I should feelingly chant and feelingly serve Guru and Vaishnavas with great heart, with full heart and feelings and bhav or love or whatever. But then at the level of Raghunuga Sadhana, then that bhava becomes very defined and specified. It says, I want to attain not just bhava for Krishna or deep feelings and attachment and absorption in Krishna, but bhava like the Brijvasis. It's called Brajabhava, Gopi bhava, which we heard so much about, Gopi bhava. So, because this is the bhava that Lord Chaitanya came to distribute, Brajabhava. This is the bhava that he came to relish, Gopi bhava. Radharani's bhav. So I desire at the level of Raghunuga Sadhana, I desire a very specific type of bhav, to have that type of purity and a very specific sweet form of purity and expression that Krishna will relish the most. We perform activities at the level of Raghunuga Bhakti, we perform activities with the goal to achieve the bhava of the Brijvasis. The devotees of Krishna who are bhav sarup, they're made of rag. It's their very essence. That's why we say Radharani is made of mahabhav. That's all she is, mahabhav. In bhakti literatures, the terms sadhana and sadhya, they have different meanings. Then, when these words are applied to the path of jnana and yoga, we say yoga sadhana or jnana sadhana. Actually, the actual meaning is that sadhana is the cause and the practice, and sadhya is the effect or goal. However, in bhakti, it's not that we do sadhana and will attain bhava as a result of the activities performed in sadhana, which is told in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. It's not that one thing is a cause of another thing. It's not simply that bhakti is the cause of bhava. That's what he's saying. It's not exactly a causal relationship. And gyan, one thing, the austerity leads to knowledge, or and karma, austerity leads to gyan, and then you do austerity with meditation, and that penance and meditation leads to gyan and vigyan. And bhakti is something different. We pray and we serve in a similar way as the eternal associates of Krishna do. And we desire only to attain their ras, their swaras, for pleasing Krishna. Now we have many mixed rasas within us. We have so much variety of tastes for enjoying the material world. By performing sadhana, we quickly qualify ourselves to receive grace or the mercy of Krishna or his nitya siddha associates like Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, who can give that bhav to us. The highest potential living entity is to acquire this braja bhav, which is only possible by practicing sadhana, Raghunatha sadhana. So we have the field, we have the potential, as I mentioned the other day, to develop this love. Pramanda brahmate kon bhagyavan jeev guru krishna prasade bhai bhakti lata bij. This bhagya jeev, well, this is bhagya. What is this auspiciousness or bhagya or fortunate that jiva has within him? He has anuchit, anu ananda. He has this minute amount of ananda. He has the field of ananda, ananda kshetra. He has the potential or capacity to produce the prema phal, the fruit of prema, from his field of ananda. That small portion of ananda is within the heart of the jiva. However, that field must be implanted with a seed. If you have a field with no seeds, although it has potential to yield thousands and thousands of succulent, tasty mango fruits, without the insertion of seeds in the ground, you will not get one fruit. So by the arrangement of Guru and Krishna, yasya prasara bhagavat prasaro, yasya prasara nagati katopi, this bhav is placed in the heart and then develops by association and service and surrender. It's a mercy gift, a gift of mercy. Shraddha or faith means purity, freedom from offenses, and one-pointed desire to attain braj bhav. That is required for success. So what do we need to attain success on the platform of Raghunuga Bhakti? Purity. Faith, purity, freedom from offense, and one-pointed desire. Faith, purity, freedom from offenses, and one-pointed desire to attain braj bhav. That's successful. So we may have some desire, maybe even one-pointed desire to attain braj bhav, but our hearts are still not pure. There's so much lust or greed or anger there. What to speak of this ever-present enemy of Vaishnava Aparad, Nama Aparad? They're always haunting us and repressing us, keeping us from advancing. If we really want to be followers of the Ragatmika Bhaktas, if we really want to follow in the footsteps of Rupa Manjari and Rati Manjari, then they will give their energy to us. Our Narottam Das Thakur, he wanted to take initiation from Lokanath Goswami. He was determined. He really wanted it. It was predicted in a dream by the Lord, Chaitanya. But Lokanath Goswami was not very interested in having any disciple. But Narottam had lots of faith and intense desire and purity of heart and purity of purpose. He didn't want anything else, and eventually, after 1 year or so of rendering very humble service, of cleaning the stool field, sweeping and brooming and cleaning the stool field where Loknath Goswami was passing, and finally Narottam received the mercy of Loknath and got initiation. When we qualify ourselves with this purity of purpose, this purity of desire, and freedom from offenses, then Krishna will reciprocate with us. These living personalities, the Chinmay Sarup, Rupa Goswami is eternally alive. Raghunath Das Goswami is eternally alive, eternal present, because they're eternal, which means they're present, they're right here. They're in their samadhis, they're in their bhajan kutirs, they're in their books. There's that explanation of Prabhupada was in his room in 63, something like this, in Radha Damodar. Why Prabhupada was taking lunch in that room, and then Rupa Goswami appeared to him. It seemed like an apparition or a vision or whatever, but he described it to some of his disciples that he was standing right in front of me, as clear as day, sakshat form, and he was telling me, listen, Swami, Bhaktivedanta Swami, you should go to America and preach the teachings of Mahaprabhu Shiksha. And you should teach our teachings of the six Goswamis. And we will all be right there with you, right behind you. Don't have any fear. You will be successful. So there's a painting was commissioned of this by Garga Muni, showing Rupa Goswami blessing Prabhupada. And that's the fact. Anyone can receive the hand of Rupa Goswami on their head, or the hand of Raghunath Das Goswami on their head, which is their direct blessings and sanction to write or to perform bhajan and go forward. And again, it depends on our purity and our freedom from offenses and our single-pointed desire to be with them and to be like them and to attain their mercy and to serve Radha and Krishna like they are. Because they're very happy. As a devotee is living in a temple, a preacher devotee, and some new devotee comes to join the temple, and he's enthusiastic, and he's very pure-minded. And maybe he's conditioned soul, obviously, but he's showing a lot of enthusiasm to serve Krishna, and seems quite pure-minded, and he's innocent, and he's not envious and speaking badly about any other devotees. Basically, you could say he's free from aparad to a large extent. Then that temple commander or that temple president, he's very happy. He's very happy and thrilled with this devotee. He says, actually, you're a really nice person. Come on with me. Come, let's study together. Let's read together. Come with me, do some service. So he attracts the heart of the devotees in the temple. And then they help him in so many personal ways, giving prasad, engaging in service, and spontaneously instructing him and giving him insight, information how to practice bhakti. And the same way, when Rupa Goswami sees our diligent efforts to read his books regularly and to pray to him regularly and to cry out for his mercy, he said, really, this person is always calling on me and always studying my books. I have to be kind to them. I have to give them some blessing. I have to help them along the way. I have to pick them up and carry them and inspire them and fulfill their heart with whatever they require. And they do it. And that's what he's saying here. This commentary is saying, they will help us. When they see that we're sincerely practicing and trying to hear more and more about Braja Bhav and Manjari Bhav, that what will happen? From within, Krishna will help us by increasing our desire to follow the footsteps of Brijavasis. No amount of punya or sukriti or piety can give you the desire to become Krishna's devotee. Desire is causeless mercy. Desire to serve Krishna, desire to become a devotee, desire to advance. It is causeless mercy. It's not a byproduct of some activity of punya or sukriti we do. This desire just happens by the mercy of devotee or Krishna. You can't generate or produce bhakti by doing anything in this world. Because everything we're doing is material, and bhakti is transcendental. This is a big distinguishing feature between Gaudiya Vaishnava philosophy. You only get rag by following ragatmika devotees. By devotion, bhakti, we enter Krishna's spiritual family, where everything is based on loving dealings without any cheating. All the problems of the material world are due to a lack of love. Because if you love someone, you can't cheat them. But a business partner, you can cheat. It happens all the time, isn't it? So if your business partner's over money or over selling some goods, you can cheat each other because it's a material business. And if you have emotional business partners, an emotional business partner means you're doing the business of emotions. You scratch my back, I'll scratch your back. You play the husband role, I'll play the wife role. So that's material relationship. So there'd be some cheating there. But where there's genuine love, you can't cheat someone you love. It's very difficult for a son to think about cheating his mother. Because he generally feels extremely indebted if she's a loving and kind, generous mother. The son will feel extremely indebted and grateful to all the love, kind attention, and care that he's received from his mother. So he has to think twice about cheating his mother, or never can think of such a thing. Someone may create a scheme. Listen, I have this scheme to make some money. We have to cheat your mother. You work with me and cheat your mother? No, I can't do that. I can cheat my wife, or cheat my friend or my business partner. Because this means that there's no, but in Krishna's family, there's a common center. There's no two centers. The only center is Krishna. So no one is trying to get some advantage over the other person to increase their own position. Everyone is working conjointly and harmoniously to improve the position of Krishna. So no one feels threatened, no one feels envious. There's no competition one to the other to try to exploit the other one to get ahead or to establish your own supremacy or unique position. Everyone says, come on, let's work. We have to work together. You pick the flowers. You get the string. You string the flowers. You offer them. You wash, prepare them. You separate them by different colors. Many, many people are involved, harmoniously working. Yes, yes, I want to do that. I want to put my contribution towards the center. I want to contribute something towards the center. So your little effort and my little effort, and they're all unified as one offering, one effort to please the center, who is Krishna. And everybody shares in the happiness. Krishna says, oh, this is such a beautiful garland. It's so fragrant, colorful, and long, and soft, and so wonderful to touch and to smell and to look at. Who has made this garland? And they say, oh, Rati Mandri, and Rupa Mandri, and Nayana Mani Mandri, and this Mandri, and that Mandri. Oh, so many involved. Yes, yes, it's a joint effort. It's a cooperative effort, joint venture. So this is where there's love, there's no cheating. All problems in the material world are due to a lack of love. For this reason, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to spread Prema Dharma, the religion of love, by propagating Harinam Sankirtan in order to unify the whole world in a loving service of Krishna. Sankirtan means there is one God, we are all his devotees, and we are all cooperating with each other for his sake. So tomorrow we'll read some other verses from the book, and then Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, and maybe some further passages from our notes about these things. But that's a basic definition of ragatmika bhakti. And the next few verses, then Rupa Goswami goes into the actual practice of Raghunuga Bhakti, how to follow the residents of Vrindavan externally and internally, living in Vrindavan itself, and these type of subjects.